Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living grid locked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks swimming in the sea.
Hey everybody, it's Owen. Welcome to the Fansmanship Podcast. I had a chance to sit down on this edition of the Fansmanship Podcast with a member of the Gaucho Locos, actually past president. His name is Chris Pierce, a head of Cal Poly and UCSB blue-green rivalry soccer game that's happening tomorrow when I post this. And I talked to Chris about the rivalry, about UCSB soccer, and tried to get a little bit of insight into some tradition down there as well. And so we know that Spanos will be filled up tomorrow night here in San Luis Obispo, and looking forward to a good game and to preview it. Here is Chris Price from the Gaucho Locos.
Get up on my level where the rhythm is the bass and the bass is the treble, where infidel rebels and tribes be clashing. No more paint dripped in the latest.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Here today with the past president of the Gaucho Locos. I'm not sure whether to call them a movement, a fan club. I'm not really, you know, I'm sure he'll let me know. It's Chris Pierce. Chris, how's it going?
Great. Going great. How about yourself?
It's going good. Yeah, absolutely. It's a big week on the Central Coast. Some would say as big as it gets in the blue-green rivalry between Cal Poly and UCSB. We have the home game here at Cal Poly, the home soccer game against home soccer match, I should say, against the Gauchos. It's the first UCSB Cal Poly matchup of the season. Of course, Cal Poly will go down there, I think, a week from Saturday. So the two games, I think, are a week apart. And so with the game coming up, I thought, who better to talk to than somebody with a little bit of a Gaucho perspective? I don't get too many of those people on the podcast here. So excited to have you on, Chris.
Thank you. I'm glad that I'm on.
Yeah, likewise. So UCSB this year, give me like a couple minute synopsis of kind of how their season's gone. You don't have to go through every game, but it sounds like you've been, paying close attention despite being on the East Coast this year. Tell me about kind of what they've looked like this year and how they're playing recently, I guess.
We're 9-4-1, so that's right. pretty decent record.
Yeah,
we've had some pretty big game wins at UCLA, Fullerton. We've had big wins,
uh-huh.
But we've had really bad losses on the road, like at UConn, and we had a 2-0 defeat at home versus Akron. And then
Who's not a bad soccer school, Akron? But,
oh, yeah.
But you wouldn't expect to lose 2-0 at home, like you said.
Yeah, Akron's a great team, but I just expected us to fight a little more.
Yeah.
And sadly, we lost 5-2 last night to Sacramento State. So.
Yeah, so like after having such a strong start to Big West play, UCSB won 4 straight games to start conference play against the Southern Division, which seems just like so far down in comparison. You know, I think probably, you know, every team in the Northern Division could be in second place in the Southern Division with how many points they have coming off the first 4 matches. Of course, all those will kind of even out as the Northern Division beats up on itself now. But UCSB went up to Sacramento State yesterday. We're taping this on a Thursday night during the Dodger playoff game, actually. And UCSB went up to Sac State, lost 5-2. Cal Poly went up to Davis and lost in overtime, 3-2. They came back and tied it and then lost on kind of a, I don't want to say like a fluky rebound because it was a great move to get the shot off. Did you see the video of it?
I didn't.
Okay, yeah. So the Davis guy kind of turned inside and got a good shot off that Hamilton saved, and it, I think Hamilton saved it off the ground, like saved it down, and then and the Sac State guy was just kind of there. He just kind of leaned into it and put his head into it in the back of the net. It was super weird, yeah. But again, starting off Northern Division play with the North teams winning a couple of games quick, and UCSB still has the most points in the Big West. in terms of the standings with 12. Of course, those first four games do count. So, you know, they're still feeling pretty good, I would say, about where they're at. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely feel like we feel that we're, you know, very strong contenders for winning the Big West. But, you know, we'll have those. We've, in the past couple of years, where we have won this league, we've had these kind of losses that we shouldn't have had. But I don't know. We seem to be a little anemic when it comes to closing out the title. But,
Got it. Yeah, and for the Mustangs, you know, they've started off the last couple of years really hot in terms of Big West play. They usually do well against the Southern Division teams. They're usually in the top couple going into kind of divisional play. And the last couple of years, it's just really petered off pretty hard at the end. Last year, of course, there were a ton of injuries, a new coach. This year with their third coach in 3 years, again, kind of started off the Big West Conference play, I think 2-0-2, and before the loss recently. UCSB has their best team, do you think, in a couple of years this year? I mean, it seems like they're really, really talented. They have a couple of freshmen that I want to get into, and of course, Nick Dupuy. Tell me about you know, this team's talent. Do you think this is the best UCSB team we've seen in a few years?
Yeah, I agree. Our squad's very deep this year. We felt gutted last year after losing our freshman of the year. What's his name? I forgot his name, but we lost the freshman player of the year for the Big West, and then we also lost our
where did he go?
Fielder. He joined. He transferred out. I don't know where he did, but I know he transferred out.
Okay.
And also we lost another good freshman midfielder, Rio Fuji, who is now playing for LA Galaxy B.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so we were gutted in the midfield, so I was kind of worried about what our team would be. But then we picked up great players like Kevin Feucht and just a lot of a multitude of midfielders, and our midfield play is arguably the strongest it's been in a few years, and I'm very happy to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I think of UCSB, I think of finishers, and I think of really strong, like, central defenders for whatever reason, like really tall, strong central defenders. You know, the midfielders just are kind of there in comparison, at least the last maybe 3 years that I've followed things really closely. And definitely interested to see, you know, how they do this year. I'm with Chris Pierce here from Gaucho Locos. So I want to talk about a couple of players because one in particular, and Nick Dupuy, and then there's a freshman that I saw, and I'm trying to figure out which freshman forward it was. I think it was Jeffrey, and you can tell me how to pronounce his last name. Who Top Drawer Soccer, I think, said was a Generation Adidas candidate. In other words, a candidate to maybe come out of school early to sign a pro contract in the MLS. But to me, like, Nick Dupuy seems like a guy who should be on that list. He's a 6'4 forward who seems like he scores every single game. Tell me about Dupuy first. And am I pronouncing that right, Dupuy?
Dupuy. We call it Dupuy. I don't know how you actually
pronounce it. Dupuy? Say it again?
Dupuy.
Okay. Dupuy.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Nick.
It's okay. Nick has, I think last year we moved him up from midfield to striker. And that was a move on Teague's part. And we weren't really sure about how, you know, Nick would do up front. And he had a good amount of goals.
He scored at Cal Poly?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And in the offseason, he trained really hard on making runs and just everything what a striker does. And obviously, you can see what all the hard work he did on the offseason. Just getting, I think he has 12 goals.
Yeah.
Crazy amounts of goals right now.
I mean, it just seems like I said, it seems like he's pulling them out every game. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah, but yeah, he's been having a great season. It's great to have a tall striker up there. It kind of reminds me of like a Zlatan Ibrahimovic up there. You know, you just send it in the box, and, you know, Nick will get it. And we're very honored to have a striker that lethal.
Yeah, 12 goals in 14 games. That'll get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love what I'm seeing from Nick, and I don't think he could be playing any better right now.
Yeah, and then the other guy who has it looks like 3 goals and 6 assists is Jeffrey, and how do you pronounce his last name?
Achampong.
Achampong. Okay, tell me about Jeffrey Achampong. He's a guy who's a freshman, but maybe, I don't know, if he's a Generation Adidas candidate, he may only be at UCSB for a year. How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to stay, but
yeah,
what I've seen from him, the season has been phenomenal. I mean, the first couple games he started, I was kind of unsure on, you know, how he was, you know, because I knew he was a very highly touted recruit, so
yeah.
I had high promise, but yeah, I think he just had to get his feet kind of set, and then he just started getting assists. One of the assists that comes to mind is left side of the pitch, swings in the Nick, and Nick just heads it in on a power header.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been playing fantastic for the past, I think, 4 or 5 games. So
yeah, nice 1-2 punch there, for sure.
Yeah, so I couldn't be any happier with the Champong.
Yeah, and a couple other freshmen on UCSB. Of course, one of them is Justin Vom Stieg, the coach's son, who played actually this summer, interestingly enough, with Cal Poly's Matt LaGrassa on the Ventura County Fusion team, who almost got to go play the LA Galaxy. They actually lost to a team in PSA Elite over the summer in the U.S. Open Cup that included Wade Hamilton and Justin Dillon from Cal Poly's roster. I went down and checked that game out when those guys got a chance to. I thought Hamilton was going to play, but he didn't because he was hurt. And Dillon got in as a sub late in the game, but that was kind of cool to see that. You know, summer soccer is probably as important to these guys as regular season soccer is in terms of, you know, getting people looking at them and their skills, etc. And seeing what they can do, maybe at the next level too. You mentioned the player with the Galaxy 2, and Ari Lassiter, who played at Cal Poly for a year, is on that team as well. So I think those guys are teammates now, which is kind of fun. So what was your introduction to the Cal Poly UCSB soccer games, the rivalry here? What was your first game that you attended in the rivalry?
My first game was 2 years ago, and I think it was the first leg of the Blue-Green rivalry, and it was at UCSB, and we won 2-0, and that was my kind of like my first experience. I wasn't really involved with the Gaucho Logos at the time. I saw them. I was actually just there with a friend, and yeah, and that was, I liked the atmosphere, and I decided to join the Locos that day.
So what is the Gaucho Locos? Help me understand. Help me define it for somebody who might not have a good picture for it. Is it just a soccer supporting group? Is it all sports? What does it look like?
Well, our main sport is soccer. We base most of our chants from European football chants, but we also go to any we support every Gaucho sport. So volleyball, basketball, whatever we can go to, basically. And we're a group of just students that are very loco, they just love their Gaucho sports. And we go down with the ship if they're losing, and if they win, we're right there with them. They have our 100% support.
Got it. How many times did you come up to Cal Poly for that game?
We went up last year
on a
bus.
Which was a 1-0 or 2-0 win, I think?
Yeah, it was a 2-0 win.
Right. Yeah, so.
And that was a very fun experience. I could say something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's a heated rivalry on both sides, right? Yeah. I mean that's the deal. In terms of you know, probably things that people say to you, notwithstanding, because I would imagine, you know, Cal Poly kids who go down there probably, I don't know, I would imagine get similarly greeted potentially. What was like the you know, describe, because I haven't been to a game down at UCSB. It ends up usually being on a football weekend at Cal Poly. And so, you know, there's a home football game and an away game at UCSB. That's how it is next weekend when Cal Poly goes there. And I don't know if that's something that the Big West or UCSB or Cal Poly do on purpose to try not to make it like, you know, something that a bunch of people go down there for. I've always wanted to see, you know, like kind of to compare the atmospheres at the different places, because I know Spanos gets pretty loud. It's a, you know, it's a football stadium, almost as big as Harder Stadium. You know, newer, you know, one newer side, one older side. Can you like just, you know, atmosphere wise, you know, people wise, how would you compare the two?
Well, first touching base on, Alex G. Spanos Stadium, when I first saw it, I thought it would be a little bit bigger, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, yeah. for what its size is, it gets very loud, and we, you know, as much as we don't like Cal Poly, we got to give to them that, you know, they love their football, they love all their sports, and especially when it comes to the Blue Green Rivalry, they come out in numbers, and we admire that. Regarding Harder Stadium, well, we call it Soccer Heaven, and we actually have a sign in there that says this is Soccer Heaven.
I've seen the sign on TV. Yep.
Yes. We actually, a couple years back, we hosted UCLA, and we actually packed like 16,000 people into the stadium.
Nice.
So that was a very, very fun atmosphere.
It's more of like just a two-sided stadium, though, right? There's not like any. Are there any seats like on the end, like past the end zones, or past the goal lines on either side, or is it just two kind of sheets of? Is it like just two big, huge sides of a stadium?
We actually have a third side.
Okay.
Where we usually put, in the case of Cal Poly, we usually have a designated Cal Poly section.
Right. Right. Sure.
So that's where they usually sit.
Got it.
And then we have a kind of a parent visitor side. And then we have same for the other side, but then we have a little section for the Gauch Locos. So.
Got it. So you guys get your own section if you're the supporter group?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's cool. That makes sense. And when you get down there, like what are some you know, unique things about Harder Stadium or what, you know, what it's held. I know you guys have held was the women's Final Four there a couple years ago or something?
I think it was the men's Final Four we held.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that like a couple years after the national championship?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. If memory serves me right.
Yeah.
But, I think what makes Harder Stadium one of the better soccer arenas in Division One is our tradition of throwing tortillas after every goal, or in frustration. But
yeah, so like I was trying to figure that out because like there were moments when I've seen tortillas fly on the field when there haven't been any goals or something. So that was kind of an interesting thing. Like, are there rules about that, or like, do you guys try to keep like a handle on that on some level to make sure that it's only happening at certain times, or what does that look like? Because I've seen times, at least on TV, where like, you know, it just seems like kids are in the stands throwing tortillas at the other team or something like that too.
Yeah, if we have the mentality of tortillas are for goals only, and we're not going to throw it unless we score. But sometimes we just get fed up with, you know, the refereeing, or, you know, basically the refs, and we'll just go for tears just because we're frustrated.
Yeah, and in no other like sport or situation that I can think of, like in college sports and pro sports, And maybe like maybe when a guy scores a hat trick in hockey and they throw like octopus on it, or like, you know, like in Detroit, or like they throw hats on the ice or something. That's really the only other time that I can think of that like that something gets thrown on the field or on the court and is kind of like tolerated and does it like during the game too. Like I've always tried to kind of figure out what makes tortillas and what makes UCSB like different in that regard. Cause it's always something that I like. I mean, it's definitely a unique tradition. I always try to, you know, kind of just contextualize it that way. And while I don't have an answer, you know, it's something that everybody seems to be good with, which is, you know, I'm cool with fan traditions. So, you know, it's pretty random, like not knowing about it ahead of time, watching a game the first time and seeing guys, you know, seeing tortillas hitting guys, it was kind of a shock for a half a second.
Yeah. And the funny thing about the tortilla thing is it actually started in basketball.
Exactly. Yeah.
It started off in basketball until I think we would basically, throw tortillas on the court right after tip off.
or on the first basket or something like that.
It was always after the first tip off.
Okay. Okay.
But then that got shut down very quick. So
I read somewhere that it got in like somebody's like an ESPN camera or something like that at one point, and cost the school a ton of money in basketball. Like they had to pay for the camera that something happened I read something like that. Maybe I'm mixing up stories.
Yeah, we actually broke a ESPN camera with the tortilla. So.
So like I mean for whatever reason when you're outside playing on a soccer field it's game on though, right?
Oh yeah, we also have competitions during the game to see who can throw the tortilla the far.
Right. And have you ever seen like a ball get close to going out of bounds but not being able to tell because there's too many tortillas around?
Not in my time there.
Yeah, you haven't seen it. Okay.
No.
Have you ever seen anybody slip on a tortilla?
I've seen tortillas kind of throw people off, but I've never seen people slip.
Like literally slip. Okay. So like when you say throw them off, what should I picture for that?
And like maybe like lose their balance a little bit and then they'll regain it, but it gives them that little.
You've never seen them slip and fall down, but you might have seen them slip a little bit.
Oh yeah, okay. They kind of have to regain their composure after they kind of like roll over a tortilla, you know?
Yeah, maybe like even guys on both teams, I would imagine. I mean, that tortillas won't just slip up one guy. I mean, you got cleats on. You're playing on the field. You know, both teams probably. Yeah, cool. Okay, well that's just something that's always been a question in my head that I've always wanted to ask somebody who knows a lot better than I do. So I'm glad I got that one. What do you think about the Big West? Like, I always feel like in sports like soccer and baseball especially, that the Big West could and does, I mean, has competed for national championships, right? So like men's soccer and baseball, you know, UCSB's won a national championship in the last, you know, what, 10 years? And Fullerton's always in the baseball final. You know, I mean, there's teams from Irvine, Fullerton, you know, those are teams that are in the College World Series all the time. Cal Poly hosted a regional, UCSB hosted a regional last year, Cal Poly the year before. In these sports, I always feel like, you know, the Big West is kind of just like right there competing with, like you said, teams like UCLA, teams like, you know, USC even, you know, there's not a ton that separates, you know, kind of the top teams in the Big West from the middle to top teams in the Pac-12. Is that kind of how you see it as well?
Yeah, I think we're on the verge of being considered a legitimate conference. I mean, in the recent years, I remember it would have been impossible for us to draw like a Stanford or a UCLA or a Akron to, you know,
right,
Harder Stadium, especially. Sure. And I think throughout the year, we're gaining more, like ourselves, Cal Poly, Fullerton, basically everyone in the Big West is getting a little more respect, and bigger teams are wanting to play us now.
Yeah, I mean, Pauly goes on the road and plays a lot of teams back east at least once a year, and maybe some of those start coming back here. I mean, and UCSB always has a really good schedule too. I always feel like there's still some of that East Coast bias, though, that goes on. I think that's something we could probably agree on, being from Santa Barbara and Cal Poly, is just, you know, the bias that goes on when you look at, like, the best team in the Big West. Like, UCSB's record right now is really good. I don't know what they're ranked, but if it's not up there, it should be. And kind of none of those Big West wins, people don't really look at those and respect those as much as maybe the preseason wins.
Yeah, we were actually 15th, I think, okay, going into our loss to Sacramento State. So,
right, but that's gonna drop UCSB out of the whatever, you know, and even though the guy went out with a red card for, you know, for what, half the game probably. And so, you know, five goals is that's a quick way to five goals. In terms of how that happens. Tell me what's kind of the key to UCSB continuing to be successful this year in soccer?
I think it all starts in the midfield with Kevin Foyst. Kevin Foyst he kind of makes everything happen for us. Whether it's, you know, feeding an overtop through ball to Nick DePew, you know, getting out wide, coming back and defending.
Right.
He's kind of the main person that ignites us.
Got it. How much will the loss of Sam Strong affect you guys for Saturday night in a road game? I saw the tackle. It was a hard tackle. I'm always, you know, I'm always skeptical when a ref just pulls out a straight red. You know, the Sac State guy was running hard. He was running hard. So it was, you know, it was a tough tackle. But, you know, tell me about what Sam Strong does for this team. And I'm sure UCSB has somebody else to plug in. But just in general, what does that look like?
Well, Sam Strong has had a couple of games this season where he's looked like a freshman.
He's a big guy.
Oh yeah, he's 6'2".
Yeah, I mean, and built. I mean, he's no little guy. He's a large individual.
Yeah, but there's been a couple of games this season where he's done freshman things.
Uh-huh. And went to high school with Justin Vom Steeg, so he's the defender that's been in front of Vom Steeg, you know, throughout high school as well at San Marcos High in Santa Barbara.
Yes. Yeah. So he's looked like a freshman for a couple of games, but then some games he's been, you know, he looks like he's like a fifth year senior back there.
Right.
So it's a huge loss, I think, for us in the back, but luckily we have a fifth year senior, Brennan Brockway, back there.
I was going to say, in the Cal Poly game, maybe you want a fifth year senior. on some level.
Our back line is very, very young, outside of Brennan Brockway. And
right.
Brockway kind of provides like a John Terry leadership in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of keeps everything good back there. So the loss of Sam Strong is very...
Yep.
Very, very, very hard, but I believe in Brendan Brockway that, you know, whoever we plug in back there, that we'll be okay.
Got it. What's the key to winning? You said midfield play, right? What do you know about Cal Poly and the players that they have? They have a ton of seniors, especially in the attacking side of the ball. What do you know about them, and maybe what scares you about you know, playing against a team like that, especially coming off giving up five goals against Sac State?
This is the great thing about the Blue Green Rivalry. When the players see UCSB Cal Poly records are thrown out,
nothing matters, right? I mean, you can't predict anything.
Yeah, so I mean, we could be going into Cal Poly with like four wins, but then if we see Cal Poly on the schedule, we might flip the switch. And both teams do flip the switch. And that's a great, and that's a beautiful thing about the rivalry. So, what I know about Cal Poly's midfield is they're very experienced. They're very physical. They make great passes. And they're definitely going to be something that UCSB has to have to break down in order to get in front of net.
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting this year with Steve Sampson as the coach, putting a lot more emphasis on midfielders getting behind the ball when they're on defense, putting a lot more emphasis on, you know, kind of being attacking when you're attacking, but really playing both sides of the field, especially for the outside midfielders, you know, players like Chase Minter, who can get on the wing sometimes, but, you know, Matt LaGrasso plays both sides a lot. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see when guys are pumped up, they tend not to last as long in terms of their wind and their fitness. So it's going to be a real test on both sides. I think the blue green rivalry is always a test of fitness, and it's a test of poise in terms of who can kind of keep themselves together mentally, because that's going to affect their ability to stay on the field, you know, physically throughout the game too. And you know, it's always, you know, like you said, it's always kind of who knows what's going to happen when these two play. But you know that both teams are going to be playing about as hard as they can for the first 20 minutes. And then it's kind of like, okay, we're 20, 30 minutes into the game now. It's usually, you know, a lot of the time, you know, that if there isn't a goal yet, that first goal or those couple of crazy chances come, you know, kind of between those, like, you know, 25th and 45th minute after, you know, after guys kind of get their legs under them a lot of the time.
Yeah. And I got to add that what's really scaring me is the senior goalkeeper, Wade Hamilton. I remember when we were up at Pauley last year, he made a great amount of great saves that kept Pauley from going down more than what they should have been. But
UCSB dominated that game, for the record. For sure.
He's a great goalkeeper, and
I don't know that if I had to put like money on it or whatever, I don't know that Cal Poly in like, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years has ever kind of been come into one of these games as the favorite, although they win, they've won a few of them, they've won a number of them, they've tied a number of them. You know, I think UCSB is generally the favorite whenever they play, wherever they play. I would say that's fair. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I think the overall record between Cal Poly and UCSB, I think I don't have the record on hand, but UCSB owns the rivalry, but there's been, I think, like 12 or 13 losses that against Poly. So
right, and most of those in the last maybe like 5 to 8 years, probably since Hollaher kind of got everybody coming to the Cal Poly game or to the UCSB game, and that rivalry is kind of ramped up. And I think both schools pretty much sell it out every year for the last five to eight years, which is pretty fun and pretty impressive. And it's really as good a soccer environment as you're going to find. You know, I went to a Chivas USA game a couple of years ago in their last season in existence, and there were like 6,000 people there at the StubHub Center. And I looked around, and I'm like, well, you know, there's twice as many people at Cal Poly when they play there, and there's more than that. You know, there's 2,000 more than that at UCSB when they play there. So, you know, I'd say all in all, it's a great environment if you're a soccer fan to come and check out one way or another. I know I'll be there on Saturday night, and I really appreciate you coming on, Chris, to preview the game with me. And maybe sometime later we'll get some other people, maybe some people who are, I know we're trying to get the current president, but it's a Cal Poly UCSB women's soccer game tonight too.
Yes, it is.
So do you have an update on that one? I don't.
I can.
I'm looking it up right now as we're talking. This is great podcast right here.
Yep.
This is fantastic. Let's see here. Let's see the schedule. Who can look it up the fastest?
Number one. I got it right here.
1-0 Santa Barbara, I think, in nine minutes in. Gosh, the women's soccer team at Cal Poly has really been giving up some goals lately. So, I mean, really, I don't think they've won a conference game yet. And they were a team that was in the Final Four last year. So it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back from this game. Santa Barbara is obviously a little bit on the upswing here. Goal by Kate Shoemaker, in case you're wondering. So there you go. All right. Well, anything you want to add about the rivalry or about the game coming up, or you know, anything along those lines?
As we talked before, I am alumni of UCSB and in Rhode Island, so I will be watching the game.
Late night,
yeah.
Yeah, and the Spanos, the Spanos view is kind of a little bit higher up view because the top of Spano Stadium is a little bit closer to the field, I think, than like the top of Harder Stadium when you watch it from there, right? So it's kind of a little bit more like looking straight down. I know when you watch like the Premier League or something like that, there's different, you know, depending on how big the stadium is, there's different kinds of views. That one's kind of always an interesting one to watch on TV because it's kind of right on top of like looking down on the action. You can almost not even see the near sideline because of how close that wall is there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, but, you know, as long as I get to watch my Gauchos play, we're okay.
Yeah, nice.
I'm just excited. You know, every year I mark down this, you know, this date, Cal Poly UCSB. Yep. We both respect each other, Cal Poly and UCSB, but, you know, when it comes to the Blue Green rivalry, we're not friends for that day, but
that sounds like a plan. Absolutely. And, you know, when you talk about soccer, like I said, baseball's another one where, you know, you got to root for other teams in the Big West when it's not conference play. And then as soon as conference play starts, it's all, you know, every man for himself for sure. So, you know, good luck the rest of the year, with Cal Poly UCSB. There's only like, what, 3 weeks left, essentially 2.5 weeks left now in the season, because there's two games a week and there's only four teams, which means you play three other teams in your division, followed by playoffs if you're good enough to make it. And right now, you know, all the Northern Division teams went into the divisional play, you know, with a pretty good advantage on the Southern Division teams. That said, once division play starts, things, like I said, usually tend to start to even out. So we'll see how that goes. Chris Pierce, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and if people want to find out, I mean, I don't know that people in San Luis are going to want to find out a lot of information about where to join the Gaucho Locos, but there's a number of UCSB alums who live up here. I work with probably two or three of them who live up here in San Luis Obispo and are from this area. You know, I'm from this area and went to school in San Diego at UCSD myself, and I did grad school back home here at Cal Poly. But tell me about where they can like find info if they do want to get involved with your organization. Is there like an alumni version of it?
We don't have an alumni account, but we have our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and
is it only students who can get the sweet Gaucho Loco seating at games?
If you want to buy the shirt and you're gladly accepted into the area.
There you go. You got to buy the shirt, guys. Got to buy the shirt. Yep. And you can get info about that on the Facebook page or the Twitter account. And certainly it's always fun to follow the Twitter account during games and stuff. Chris, again, I really appreciate it. Thanks for staying up late. And let's go get the Dodgers another run here. They looks like they need it.
All right. Do that.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later, man.
All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Streetlights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, to bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Trouble Town. I can't find my way around Trouble Town. Signs out on